Our reading for this morning will be found in the book of Psalms. And we read that well-known and well-loved Psalm, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There ends the reading of God's inspired word, and our text for this morning is verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. Dear congregation, the passage of scripture that we've read together here this morning, apart from the Lord's Prayer, must surely be one of those passages of scripture that are very, very well known, even to those who are outside of the church. And this psalm has, for many, many generations of Christians, been a source of help and comfort in times of severe distress and in times of trouble. And it might even be that our familiarity with the psalm might even cause us at times to skip over it, and we think silently to ourselves, well, we know it so well. Let's read some other passages that we perhaps don't know so well. And in approaching it that way, we miss some of its essential and experiential teaching. The psalm has meant so much to people in the past, and to many today, even to some of you, I'm sure, because it is so well known. We might also, because of the fact that as children we sometimes read Psalm 23 with pictures of David sitting under a tree with a little crook in his hand, looking over the sheep as they grazed in the green fields. We have this picture in our minds from perhaps picture stories of our youth, that we perhaps also get a wrong concept of what this psalm is all about. It wasn't written by a young boy as he sat musing under a tree watching over the pastures. It was written by a man who had matured in his faith. A man who had gone through many, many difficulties in life. And he had truly come to understand that in all of these things, that the Lord was truly his shepherd. As a young man, he had shepherded many sheep. He had defended and protected many sheep. And he had come to make that association that as he had looked after his sheep as a young man, as a young shepherd, so too in his life, the Lord had come to look after him. And so it's a psalm written by a mature Christian. And at the heart of the psalm is this one central idea that as God, As a shepherd looks after his own flock, so God looks after his own people. That's what the focus of the psalm is, and that's why at the very beginning, the very first words says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And those few words, those five words, govern the rest of the psalm. And the rest of the psalm is just an explanation as to how the Lord shepherds his people. We see that he provides for them. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He protects them. He restores them. And then he is the Lord who is present with his people. And that is where we are focusing this morning on verse 6. The Lord protects his people. He provides for them. He restores them when they wander away. But he also is present with them. Constantly in this life and in the life to come. Now, one of the most assuring promises in all of Scripture is this central idea where God says to his people, "I am with you." Over and over we read it in the Old Testament where he gives this promise even to Abraham. He says, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding reward." And in an indirect way, he is saying to Abraham, "Do not worry, I am with you." He says it later to Moses. Certainly, where Moses is quaking with fear, knowing that he has to go back to the people in Egypt and lead them out, he says, "Fear not. Certainly, I will be with you." To Joshua, he says the same thing. He builds on that promise. He says, "As I was with Moses, so too I will be with you." And those well-known words in Isaiah where the prophet says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Do not fear, therefore." And so this promise, this precious promise of God's presence with his people runs throughout the Scriptures. And it finds fulfillment where God actually comes down and dwells among his people in the form of Jesus, his Son. Emmanuel, God with us. This lies at the heart of our faith. That we know that wherever and whatever we do, our God is with us. And this is what our verse for this morning focuses upon. God's presence as a shepherd with his people. He will never leave nor forsake. As the writer to the Hebrews says, never leave you nor forsake you, not now, not ever. And so as we look at our verse for this morning, our central theme is the Lord who is present with us. And the first way in which he is present with us is as our shepherd. That takes us back to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. God is present with his people as their shepherd. As any shepherd is present with his flock, looking after his flock, so the Lord looks over his people whom he regards as his sheep. And he cares for them and he is present with them as the shepherd. And we need to know, in preparing for the psalm, one thing that struck me was the presence of all the personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Can you see how personal this is? We see that the man who wrote this psalm stands in a particular relationship to the Lord whom he serves. He's mine. In what way is he your shepherd or my shepherd? Does it imply that the Lord is the shepherd of all people? Well, in some ways, we certainly can say that the Lord is the shepherd of all people. As the creator of all of his creatures and of all people, in a way, he providentially guides and leads all people. As Psalm 145 states, the Lord is good to all. His tender works or tender mercies are over all his works. And so in a way, he is a shepherd of all. But this is not what David is saying here. Due to the fact that he has this personal element written into the psalm, the indication is that this speaks of a personal relationship that he has with this one who is his shepherd. There are a particular people, therefore, that the Lord calls his sheep. Now, who is this shepherd? The psalm speaks of the Lord, and we need to note that the Lord there is written in capital letters. This speaks of the covenant-keeping God, the God who keeps covenant with his people. And yet we have to ask ourselves, who is this shepherd? What is his identity? I think that is clearly pointed out to us in the New Testament as we come to John chapter 10. And Jesus speaks in this way, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in a wonderful way, the Lord Jesus Christ indicates to us that he is this shepherd of whom David speaks. And that it is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And it is in this way that he becomes the shepherd of the flock. If one looks at the position of Psalm 23 in the Bible, you will see that before it comes Psalm 22. And those opening words of Psalm 22 that are so well known to us, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22 speaks of the shepherd laying down his life. Not so. These are the words that Jesus spoke from the cross as he was suffering, as he became an atonement for sin. These are the words spoken by Christ himself. And it is there that we see the suffering of Jesus, not so. In Psalm 22. And as we pass from Psalm 22 to Psalm 23, we pass into the green pastures. We find one who is at peace with God. And so it's not without reason that Psalm 22 goes before Psalm 23. And so it is by the sufferings of Christ that we enter into these green pastures. And this is one thing that we need to clearly understand this morning. That it is through the sufferings of Jesus Christ, the shepherd, the good shepherd, laying down his life for his sheep, that we become the sheep of his pasture. And it is in this way that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, laying down his life for you, that you become one of his sheep. And you become a sheep of his pasture.
that you truly may say that the Lord is my shepherd, because he has laid down his life for me. Is that true for you? There is no greater benefit, there is no greater comfort than this, to know that he has laid down his life for me and he is my good shepherd. And in this way I may know that he is ever present with me all the days of my life. There is no greater comfort than this. And you young people also must know, there's no greater comfort than knowing that Jesus is the one. Oh yes, your parents love you and they look after you. But there is no greater comfort than knowing that the Lord Jesus is your shepherd and he guides you and he leads you in all things, in all circumstances of this life. And so, having the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd, throughout this, having him present with you as your shepherd, this then leads to our second point, which tells us that he is our shepherd throughout this life. And this is where David says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He is, as my shepherd, present with me all the days of my life. There will not be one day where he is not present with me. We should note this word, surely. It stands at the beginning of the sentence, and so too in the Hebrew language, this little word stands right at the beginning of the sentence, and where it stands there, it means that what he is saying, he is emphasizing that which follows. Surely, truly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know, says David, for sure, that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There will be disappointments. There will be trials. There will be sicknesses. There will be troubles. But whatever comes my way, I know that his goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, our English says, will follow me. But the word actually means, will pursue me, will chase after me. Very much like the soldier in battle who pursues the enemy with a view to catching the enemy and destroying the enemy. And so the word means that the Lord's goodness and mercy pursues me. We might even say, it hounds me. Now, in the context of a flock, this means that the shepherd pursues his flock. Now, very often, the shepherd uses a sheepdog, not so. Those of you who might be acquainted with sheep farming and with shepherding, the shepherd uses a particular kind of dog to help him to pursue the flock. Now, back where I come from, they use the border collie. It's a black and white dog. That's a very, very good sheep dog. And the shepherd normally uses two of them, and he walks behind the flock, and you have these two dogs that pursue the flock, and if one strays to the right, the dog comes in from the side and chases the sheep back into the flock, and the same on the left. And so these two dogs keep the flock together, and they herd the flock into the sheep pen or into the pasture. And that's how the flock is kept together. Now, what David says here is that God has two sheepdogs. And the name of the one sheepdog is goodness, and the other name is mercy. And he sends out these two sheepdogs to pursue his flock, to keep them within the fold. Goodness on this side, mercy on the other side, keeping the flock together. Now we need to understand what this goodness and mercy is. What is God's goodness? Literally, it means his benefits, his welfare, his kindness. God is good, dear people. Whatever may come across your path in this life, you can be sure that if you belong to the Lord, his goodness constantly pursues you. And whatever may happen to you, whatever trial may even come upon you in this life, you can be sure that God is good in all things and at all times. There's no spite in him. There's no malice or resentment in him. And all the days of your life, you might know that he pursues you with his goodness. But he also pursues you with his mercy. And the Bibles, the English Bibles, translate the word mercy in various ways. In the King James and the New King James, we have mercy. In other versions, you have the steadfast love or the unfailing love of God. And the Hebrew word is one of the most significant words that we find in the Bible. It is chesed. Chesed. And that means his covenant love. That love which God has in particular for his own people. His covenant loyalty. As a husband loves his wife, as a wife loves her husband, in the covenant bond of marriage, so God has a particular love for each one of his children. And David says that God pursues the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, pursues each one of his children with covenant love. And that love is unconditional. It doesn't ask you or me to fulfill any of his demands or commands in order for him to love you. There's nothing that we can do to gain God's favor or his love. There is nothing in us that is lovable truly because of sin. And yet God chooses to love even the unlovable. His love is unchangeable. It's not hot today and cold tomorrow. That's the way we love. But his love is constant and unchanging. I am the Lord. I do not change. My goodness doesn't change. And the love that I have for you as my child does not change. So it's unconditional. It's unchangeable. Constant at all times. What greater comfort can there be than this? To know that God's goodness and mercy pursues you all the days of your life. And this is the way that the Good Shepherd deals with his sheep. And sometimes his goodness and mercy may not always be expressed in a positive way. It can also be expressed in a negative way. Because sometimes you have a stubborn sheep, and the stubborn sheep doesn't want to listen to the dog. He tests the dog. And so the dog has to nip at its heels, bites it, and it gets back. And so his goodness and mercy might even be expressed in discipline, in affliction. But yet that doesn't change the nature of his goodness or his covenant love. It is always for our good. And quite frankly, throughout the ages, God's people, his diligent servants, missionaries, ministers, in times of severe trial and trouble, have discovered this point, or this truth, that surely, of a truth, God's goodness and mercy has pursued me all the days of my life. And this is really something that you only can learn through bitter experience. At the time, the discipline or whatever is coming upon you may not be pleasant. But as you come through it and you come to the other side, you recognize and you can say with David, yes, God's goodness and mercy never left me. For those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress, and I certainly hope most of you have, you will find that Christian is passing through the valley of the shadow of death, and there in the midst of the darkness and the trouble, he thinks he's all alone. And then out of the darkness he hears this voice. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He hears this voice. And he comes to recognize that there are others with him in this dark valley. There are others who are experiencing the very same trouble and affliction and circumstances that he is. And so he comes to recognize through this that there in that dark valley, God's goodness and mercy is present with him. And so David teaches us in verse 6 that God is ever present with him. He teaches us that God is present with him throughout this life. But he also teaches us in the third place that God is present with us throughout eternity. If the Lord is your shepherd in this life, he will continue to be your shepherd throughout eternity. And I will dwell, or I will return, says the Hebrew, to the house of the Lord forever. We need to ask ourselves, what does David mean when he says, I will return to the house of the Lord? Now, the house of the Lord is the place of God's presence. Not so. We may call this the house of the Lord, not because we have a building here, but because God chooses to manifest his presence here in the proclamation and the worship of his people. Now, in David's day, the house of the Lord was the tabernacle or the temple, and there in the holiest of holies was the place where God dwelt among his people. And so when David says, I will return to the house, or I will go to the house of the Lord forever, he is longing in a way to go and to be in God's presence. David longed to be in that place where God was. And in the Psalter that we will sing at the conclusion of the sermon, we will sing, my soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. And this truly is the longing of every true child of God. And in a way, when David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, he is longing to go and to be in the Lord's presence. And that is why we come to church on a Sunday morning, is it not? On a Sunday evening. We don't come here out of compulsion. Children, we don't come here because Mom and Dad said, you will go to church this morning. We come here because we want to be here in the Lord's presence. There's no other reason why we should come to church. To meet with God. Because your soul is longing, fainting, to be there where He is. Now, if any worship service is not conducive to this great end, in order that people of God might be drawn closer to God's presence, then we need to question the validity of that service, of that worship. And so, in a way, we might say that David truly longs to go to the house of the Lord, to be in the Lord's presence. But there is a far deeper significance to these words. He longs to go to his final resting place. He longs to go to be where the Lord is. He's saying, actually, my dwelling place, my home, is to be there with the Lord forever. This is the longing of each child of God here. Is to go home to be with the Lord, that I might dwell with Him forever. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might also be. And this was a promise that he gave to his disciples. He was departing, but he said, I will come back and I will take you to be with me forever. I will take you to my Father's house where there are many mansions, and there we will dwell and be together forever. And though I may be going away now, even though your hearts may be filled with sadness right now at my departure, the time is coming where we will never be parted again. To be with Jesus. And that ultimately is what heaven is all about. It's not going to inherit all kinds of blessings, a handsome inheritance. It's not about entering in through the gates of glory. Heaven is all about this one thing, and that is to go and dwell with Jesus forever. And that should be the longing of your heart. It's not that I'm going to be free and be liberated from this body of pain, from this body of misery. No, I am going to dwell with Jesus forever. That's heaven. That's what Paul said. I'm in two minds, says Paul, whether I am to continue in this life or whether I should depart and go be with Christ, which is better by far. Is this truly the desire of your heart? That when this life is over, I go to be with Christ. Whatever other blessings heaven may offer, they are many, dear people, they are. But at the heart of it all is Jesus Christ. And that we seek and long to go and to be with Him. There is the desire of the child of God's heart, is to be with Christ. Now, is that your longing? Is that the end to which you are moving in this life? The day is coming where the Lord will one day call his two sheepdogs home. Goodness and mercy will no longer be necessary to guide and to shepherd the flock. And his goodness and mercy is proclaimed by his under-shepherds. Not so. God pursues his people with goodness and mercy through the proclaimed word, and through the word as it is read and ingested and taken in. The day is coming where the under-shepherds will no longer be there. Goodness and mercy will be called back home. And the chief shepherd, says Peter, the chief shepherd himself will appear. And the chief shepherd will be the one who shepherds his flock. And in Revelation we read, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and he will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to streams of living water. This is the fulfillment of Psalm 23, and it's a fulfillment of John chapter 10. It is the good shepherd who leads his sheep to still waters. That's what Psalm 23 tells us. And yet it is the good shepherd who is the Lamb who was slain, who is upon the throne. The Lamb who lays down his life for his sheep is now the one who sits upon the throne. And that very Lamb is the one who guides his people to streams of living water. If he is your shepherd in this life, child of God, you can be assured that he will continue to be your shepherd throughout all eternity. That's a promise. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever with the Lamb. As we close, I need to ask, do you live your life in the light of this truth? Are you preparing your life in order to take up residence in heaven, or are you busy with preparing your earthly home as though this home is the only place that there is in this life? Oh no, that's not true. Our true home is in heaven, and we store up treasures in heaven, and we work upon that tabernacle which is in heaven. And although the Lord might have blessed many of us with good and wonderful and stable homes, this home is not our place of permanent dwelling. The Bible tells us in this world we have no abiding city. We are strangers and pilgrims in this barren land. No. Our hope is focused upon that home which is ahead of us. And it is to this end that we prepare and work and focus. But there is no greater comfort, secondly, than knowing that God is present with you. Herein lies your comfort. Asaph says, you've held me by my right hand, you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Asaph is saying exactly the same thing as what David says. He shepherds me in this life, and then afterward he will receive me into glory to be my shepherd then as well. God who is present with you will be with you forever. And this is our comfort. And truly, folks, if you don't have this comfort, you have no real comfort at all.